Moment to yield to you. We stop for a moment to say thank you. Thank you in our busy lives, Lord God, that you're always there. You're always consistent. You're always there because we can depend on you to love us, to forgive us, to redeem us, to strengthen us. And God, this morning we pray that you will open up our hearts to receive exactly what you have for each one of us. Lord God, only you can deliver what we need, what our hearts need, because you are the supplier of every good and perfect gift. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that redeems us and made us whole. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that is the most powerful thing we'll ever experience. This morning, Lord God, we thank you for everything that you've done. And by faith, God, we believe that your plans are to bless us and to keep us and to strengthen us. We pray these things by faith in your son, Jesus. Amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. The question I want to talk, or I guess maybe the statement that I want to say this morning is, I believe in each one of our lives that God is bringing about different opportunities. I believe every day of our life we have an opportunity to serve him, an opportunity to treat somebody with kindness, an opportunity to show patience and to have peace. But I don't know for everybody. I know a lot of times I blow those opportunities. I know a lot of times in my life I'll get frustrated or I'll get worried about something and act out of anger or act out of confusion or just frustration. But this morning, when we get in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7, we're in a situation that there's the king of Syria, and he has a servant by the man of Naaman. And the Bible says that God has brought about great victories for Naaman, but one thing that Naaman has wrong with him is Naaman has the disease of leprosy. No doubt throughout his life, people have looked on him and been scared of him because it was such a contagious disease. No doubt, probably people had thought something's wrong with him. Probably they thought that he sinned or he did something wrong to receive this disease. No doubt people had looked on him with great contempt. People had looked on him in a way that probably made him feel ashamed. So Naaman was willing to do whatever it took to be healed of this disease. Naaman was willing to go as far as he needed to go. Naaman knew that he needed an opportunity to be presented to him for him to receive healing. And I know a lot of us this morning, as we face opportunities in our personal lives or maybe businesses or maybe, you know, all of the above, that I want to share with you what I believe God wants us to do to take these opportunities to the next level or to take these opportunities and bring him glory. I believe it's the will of God that when he presents us with different opportunities in our lives, that if we handle them in such a way that it can bring him glory and it can bless us and benefit us and help us to further the kingdom of God. So in Naaman chapter 5, verse 7, just for the backstory, there's a slave girl that that Syria has taken in from the land of Israel. And she has told one of Naaman's mistresses, listen, if Naaman was where I'm from, if Naaman was back where I'm from, there's a man of God there that could heal him. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he was reading a letter that the king of Syria was sending him saying, listen, I'm about to send Naaman, my servant, to you. And I'm sending him to you for the sole purpose of you healing him. Because I've heard that you're God. I've heard that there's somebody there that has the ability, that has the power to heal him of his leprosy. So that's where we're picking up. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So the king of Israel is presented an opportunity to bring God glory. He's presented with an opportunity to further the kingdom of God, to show them that God is exactly who God says he is. And the first thing he does is tear his clothes, and he's absolutely scared to death. Brothers and sisters, how many of us this morning can testify to the fact that sometimes when we get a diagnosis or our family members aren't as healthy as we want them to be, or we go visit somebody in the hospital, or there's such a great business opportunity before us, that our first reaction is being scared? It's being terrified of the unknown. Because I know a lot of us, I'll speak for myself definitely, when things aren't in my control, it's probably when I get the most fearful. Because I feel like my way's better than everybody else's way. I feel like I've figured certain things out in life. I feel like as long as I can keep my hands on it, then I can control it. But it's those times in my life that when God brings an opportunity to me and I'm scared, I'm nervous, I'm worried about it, that it's those times in my life that God reminds me that he is God. It's those times in my life that he says, Alan, you can only do so much. You've got to be willing to release things to me if you really trust me. You've got to be willing to let me take care of your kids, of your wife, of your family, if you really trust me. So when I get scared at an opportunity that God brings my way, one of the first things it shows me is I'm lacking a little faith in that area. It shows me that maybe I don't trust God as much as I should. And these aren't things that should beat us down this morning, but it is things that we should live in reality. We should recognize what's going on. We should recognize how we feel and why we feel that way. Don't dismiss your fear like, oh, I'm just fearful. Ask God to show you, God, why am I so fearful in this area? God, why am I so scared in this area? Lord, please show me these things. And once again, I don't believe he wants to show us to beat us down or to condemn us, but I believe he wants to show us so that we can become consistent in our faith. One of the things that I love about God is the same God of the Bible is the same God today. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In me, there's no shadow of turning. I'm the first, the last, the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. You can read from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. God is screaming at his people. God is screaming at us today that I'm the same God. I don't change. I don't have to change. I'm all sufficient within myself. I don't need anything from you, but I desire that you love me because I love you so much. It's the greatest example of what a perfect relationship should look like. God doesn't need you and my worship. It's a big statement. God doesn't need you and me to praise him. But God desires these things because he knows the only way for you and me to become whole, you and me to be happy, you and me to have eternity with him in heaven is for us to accept those things. It's for us to accept his gift of Jesus Christ. So this morning when the king of Syria sent this letter to the king of Israel, I probably would have reacted exactly the same way. I would have been scared because I'd be like, listen, nobody has the power to heal a man of leprosy. But what I love about the king of Israel is he was exactly right, but he stopped where he should have kept on going. He stopped at his question. He stopped at his fear. And all he had to say was, listen, nobody has that kind of control. Nobody has that kind of power but God. How many of us this morning need a but God? We say, God, I've tried to do this. I've tried to make this happen. I've tried to pray for my family member to be healed. I'm praying for my kids to come back home. I'm praying for this. I need some finances. And we're stopping at our fear, but God wants us to keep coming. He wants us to keep coming to him with our fear, keep coming to him with our anxiety, keep coming to him with our worry. I believe it's one of the greatest ways that we can honor God is when we come to him with our fear. We come to him with our worry, because if we're willing to do that, then we're saying, God, I'm coming to you with the very thing that you and you alone have the power to make happen. This morning when the king of Israel received this letter, he was scared and he was worried. But right here In verse 8, it says, so it was when Elisha, S-H-A, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him being Naaman, come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. One more time. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. When Elisha was presented the opportunity to heal Naaman of his leprosy, he said, very simply, bring it on. He said, listen, bring him to me. He had confidence in the very fact that God was able to do exactly what he had seen God do countless times before. What I believe Elisha was saying is, listen, bring him to me because I'll show you that my God is consistent. Brothers and sisters, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear that God is desiring for us to be consistent. I got back in the gym a few weeks ago, and one of the things I've been struggling with is going to the gym consistently. I'll go for 2 days and I'll skip a day. I'll go for 1 day, skip 2 days. I'll go for 3 days, skip 1 day. And that's not what brings about change. That's not the lifestyle change that I'm trying to make in my personal life. But I promise you, when I'm consistent in the gym, I'm consistently eating the right things, I'm consistently going to bed when I should go to bed, that's when I see the results that I want to see. I believe in anything in life. When some of the greatest chefs or bakers or whomever it may be, one of the things that they'll tell you is, you know, mix this until it gets this consistency. My wife loves her mom's caldo and menudo, however you say it, these Mexican foods, not because they're different every time she makes them, but because they're consistently the same. God is desiring consistency from us, not to benefit him, but to benefit us. You see, my wife don't want me to love her on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. She wants me to love her 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Why? Because she wants that consistency from me. Because when I'm consistent with my wife, then we can bring about healing and growth and strength in our relationship. And I believe God is telling us this morning, no wonder we doubt sometimes. No wonder we're fearful. No wonder we're scared in certain situations, because we forget about God when the opportunities come sometimes. The only time I've ever successfully did something for the Lord, it's when I was consistent in my faith. I was consistent even though I may have had some fear and doubt. I came to him and said, God, I'm scared. God, I'm nervous and I'm worried about my dad or my stepdad or my family or my wife or myself, whatever it may be. But when I was consistently honest with him, that's when God could bring about the change. It's when I stayed in my word every day, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you've got to consistently stay in the word to increase your faith. Everything about this relationship with God, he's desiring for us to be consistent. And when we're consistent with the Lord, when we do this, it doesn't mean we don't mess up, but it means if we mess up, we go back to him. If I sin, I go back to him. If I slip up, I go back to him. If I consistently go to the way maker, then that's when ways can be made where there wasn't a way before. If I consistently go to the one that has the power to forgive my sins, then he is the one that will consistently forgive. It's a simple thought this morning, brothers and sisters, but I'll encourage you to challenge it. Think of an area in your life. If it's business, if you want to get paid more, is it better if you work 20 hours or 40 hours? It's good to be consistent at your job so that you can get the hours in. It's so that you can learn and grow. If you want a better marriage, then I challenge you to be more consistent in your private time with your wife or your husband. If you want a better relationship with your kids, then be consistent with them. One of the greatest things I can testify of my parents is that when I had a ball game or I had a practice or I had an award show or whatever it may have been, they were there every single time. And that consistency showed me their love. They didn't have to tell me only with their mouth. I saw what they did, therefore I knew how they felt. How much more is God screaming to us this morning saying, listen, I'll forgive you, I'll love you, I'll redeem you, I'll strengthen you, I'll give you mercy and grace, I'll give you hope, I'll give you more faith. He has everything that we've ever desired in the palm of his hand. He's just saying, come back to me. Elisha, when he was presented what I would have been definitely nervous about, definitely scared about, to heal this man of leprosy, no doubt one of the worst diseases ever known to man, one of the most contagious diseases known to mankind, Elisha says, bring him to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. And I love how Elisha worded that, because I didn't realize it till this morning, because I wish he would have said, but so that he'll know that God is here, or that God of heaven and earth is here. And he could have said those things, but I believe that the reason Elisha said that he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel is because Elisha wanted Naaman and the king of Syria to know that there's somebody God relates to. There's a man that, despite all his failures, despite all of his weaknesses, God has chosen to be in relationship with. There's a man that speaks for the Lord God Almighty. There's a man that believes that God is consistent. The Bible says that Naaman comes down, and Naaman goes to the house of Elisha. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this. Naaman goes to the door of Elisha and says, listen, I'm here. And the Bible says that Elisha told him to go out and go wash in the river. Go wash in the river seven times and you'll be here. You'll be healed. And Naaman became absolutely furious. He said, listen, this is not the way that you should do it. You should come out here and give me respect. You should give me honor. You should do it this way. You should do it that way. And the way that Naaman approached his opportunity of healing, he approached his breakthrough, he approached something that would change him forever, was with a sense of pride. Naaman thought that his way was better than the prophet's way. And I don't know about all of us this morning, but there's some times in my life that I've approached opportunities with pride, and I failed every one of the times. I approached it with thinking that, God, my way is a little better than this way, or not necessarily I'm better than this person, but God, if you'll do it this way, then it'll be better for you. I have full-blown had conversations with God telling him that if he'll do it like this, then it'll be bring him more glory. I've told God, listen, God, if you can do it this way, it'll be easier for this person and easier for me. But when I went back and looked at the situation, it was out of pride, because I thought that I knew better than God. And it's almost a silly statement thinking that I would know better than than God, who set the moon and the sun and the heavens and the earth in their position, that he spoke to the waters and they divided, that he made Adam and Eve. But brothers and sisters, I hope there's some people out there this morning and that will hear this message that can relate and say, listen, there's an opportunity before me, and I'm approaching it with pride. And it's okay, because God will always rescue us if we'll be consistent to go back to him. This week, a couple days ago, the kids were starting school and I had to run across town for something. And I had to go stop by the gas station. And I was pumping gas, and I went to the store, got a couple things. And as I was walking out of the store, I saw a man to my left. And a clean-cut, younger guy, had a little book bag. A book bag looked like stuff full of items. And I could tell, and God was showing me, he was in a bad situation. You could tell he was frustrated and definitely scared, worried. And I was like, oh, he's not homeless. And I was like, well, yeah, he is. And I'm having a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord told me to give him some money. And I'm like, God, this man's not homeless. I said, God, you know how embarrassing it would be for me to give this man some money and he's just standing out here smoking or doing whatever? I was like, Lord, this would be awful. Not the first time I've had this conversation with God. But I got back in my car because I was like, Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to disrespect this man. I don't want to embarrass myself. And God was talking to me and I was pleading my case with the Lord. I mean, I'm full blown telling the Lord, listen, this guy's not homeless. His clothes aren't dirty. He's very clean cut. He looks like he's in great shape. And I'm telling the Lord everything that I know. I'm telling God, I know better than you. I'm telling the Lord, I don't want to do this because this puts me in a situation to look stupid. God, this puts me in a situation that I might be embarrassed. And the very thing I was doing was approaching the situation with pride. But God being God, and God never leaving me and God never forsaking me, kept talking to me the whole time I was in that gas station and the whole time I was in my car. And so when I got back in my car, I opened the door to bring him the money and I shut the door again because I was too scared. And I was like, God, I don't know if he's homeless. God was specific about the amount of money. He was telling me everything. And before I drove off, I said, God, one last time, I said, God, I don't know if he's homeless. And God so gently whispered to me, but I do. God told me, I know him. So I went up to the man and, you know, just said, hey, listen, I believe the Lord wants me to give you this. And I turned around because I was still nervous. And before I could get back to my car, the man ran me down. And he was overwhelmed with the goodness of God. The man begins to tell me how he just got baptized last Sunday and how he started his relationship with the Lord and how he's in a bad situation and he's looking for this and looking for that and just shared some personal things with me. And he kept shaking my hand and he kept thanking me. And I felt ashamed that I almost missed it. So I got back in my car and the Lord began to minister to me and he keeps showing me throughout the past few days that God knows. And I tell that story this morning to encourage you. I want you to know that God knows your personal situation and God is the consistent one. God is the consistent one chasing after you. He's speaking to you and I, if we'll just open our ears, open our hearts to hear what thus saith the Lord our God. God knows your situation. He knows the pain. He knows the confusion. He knows the worry. He knows the business opportunity. He knows the marriage problem. He knows the kid problem. He knows the health problems. And he's screaming at us this morning, letting us know that he is the one that is consistent. He consistently loves you. He consistently redeems you by the blood of his son. The whole message of the gospel, the whole message of the Bible is a rescue mission. And he sent his son who knew no sin to become sin for you and me this morning. I hear God this morning saying, listen, come back to me. It doesn't matter if you were inconsistent this morning or yesterday or the years past. Come back to me and I'll show you my consistent mercy. I'll show you my consistent love. And if it sounds too good to be true, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can't be earned. It can't be achieved by yourself. You have to be willing to be like Elisha and know that God is consistent, because the Bible says that he is love. And he says that none of us can earn it. None of us can deserve this because it's too perfect of a gift. It's almost too good to be true, but this is the one thing on earth that is not too good to be true. Jesus died for you and me, even though we're a mess, even though we fail, even though we're inconsistent. And his desire is to consistently show you and me to have change in our life is to come to him every single time. In closing this morning, I honor God that I've been like the king of Syria. I've been like the king of Israel. I've been like Naaman. But the few times in my life, and I say the few because at all the times that I have opportunities to do something for the Lord, or God speaks to me or shows me something, a lot of those times I approach it with fear or worried or pride or whatever it may be. But every single time that I have heeded the word of the Lord and done what God has told me to or asked me to do, He has been consistent to bring about change, to bring about glory for Him, to bring about forgiveness for me, to help me every single day of my life. And I honor God as the consistent one this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You that on Monday Your grace is as strong as it is on Thursday or Friday or Sunday. I thank You, God, that You love me on Tuesday morning as much as You do on Sunday when we're getting ready for church. I thank You that You're not like us sometimes, God. Will we approach things with fear or worry? But God, I pray this morning that You will give us the fire of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You will inspire us like You did Elisha on that day when He said, listen, bring him here and I'll show him that there's a God in Israel. I'll show him that there's a relationship that I have with God that will bring about change. God, I pray for consistency in our marriages, in our businesses, in our financial lives, consistency in our forgiveness and love for others. And this morning, we thank You that You never give up on us, that You're always there and that You're always there to redeem. And we love You this morning and we pray these things by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.